Scotty's Symphony.
It's me, Oliver Morris, creator of the Lightning Butler. Oh, it's my cat Rags. He has come to join me for this Apollo Plus ad. Hello, Rags, how are you? Oh, you're slightly wet behind the ears. He's been out in the rain, don't you know? Now, if you're out in the rain, you can listen to all your favorite shows from all your favorite creators on the Apollo Plus app, where every subscriber helps audio fiction creators such as myself. You can listen ad-free, you can listen to things early access, behind the scenes, supercuts, and all that. And support myself and other creators on Apollo Plus. Go, do it. You can get it on your smartphone. You can get it on the internet. It's a no-brainer. Go, quick!
Now, ye piteous fools who come over here and say the things that nobody else was wanting to say and do the things that no one else is wanting to do and think the things that no one else is wanting to think and being the thing that nobody else wants to be, it's your friend, the Lightning Baller. Hello, it's nice to see you again. Today we got a compilation of words written by David Pickering and Oliver Morris, and hopefully they'll kind of make a beautiful thing for your ears. Your ears will love it to pieces, that's the plan, at least. And Greta Clarkson's here too. Lightning Baller! At a bus stop next to a lightning-struck tree, they pulled their jackets closer in to protect them from the cold and damp, and protect them from the wind and rain, and protect them from the eyes of passers-by who might stare at them and wonder why they were at a bus stop in the rain with bags all packed and cellophane wrapped around a sandwich that looked quite unhealthy after the fact. And why must they look? Perceive what I am. And then the bus arrived, and then they got onto the bus and paid their fare, feeling rather underwhelmed at the prospect of a bus in the rain on another grisly day. And the coat can only help so much, because now that they're upon the bus, it's bulky and wet and not fit for purpose, but they keep it on because anything else would be a dismal display of what could happen if you play too close to fire, too close to soot, and spit it right out at the root. And the bus drives on to pastures new and pulls the player from their gloom as sun, bright and crisp, seeps through the clouds.
I have no name. I have no voice.
The city promised.
I have ways to make you hella rich. I have ways to serendipitously pull you towards that which you seek. Do you require love and hope? Do you require deep affection? Do you require pittance and ropes to climb away from your addictions? We have it all.
The city lied.
And don't forget to bring your pride. Pride will keep you in these streets and keep you from the howling mob and keep you from the wailing child and keep you from your destitution and keep you as its willing bride.
The city winked. It was not there. It didn't start without the sprawl of houses and corner shops and eateries that litter all the way to gold. Stadia and outlets and places to buy buckets of chicken and curry houses and chipperies and many other loose assortments of places that you could be closed to the public for the foreseeable. The seconds turned to minutes and the minutes turned to hours as the roads of hedgerows turned to buildings from the flowers. And now it comes up all at once as they sit and ponder new beginnings, bags trussed up to their chins and grey light shining through their window. And the bus shows no sign of stopping other than the obvious ports like when it pulls up at red lights or drivers make it honk its horn. And still the sprawl continues unabated, with churches and gardens and strange little places to hide away and have a joint if you were so persuaded. And theatres and thatched roofs and cottages seem to sublimate each other with wistful glances to the past and vicious words to one another. Trombone humming from the corner of Fifth and Nowhere sparks the scent of wishes that the other might go peaceful to their bed, and the bus rolled through the darkened halls lined with adverts and one and all promising that this gets better in some way, shape or form. And off the bus they got, their jackets clinging to dear life as the rain subsides, but not at all. As it grows heavy from the clouds and the sunlight bursting through the gaps is not enough to warm the skin. And so they marched up to their flats, so new beginnings begin again.
I have lived in a village that was technically a town,
she said.
I have lived in a town that was technically a city. When I lived behind the red wall, I expected there to be more mice holding swords.
That's interesting, but could you find your keys? I seem to have lost mine.
My keys are in my bag, growing roots inside the lining, finding a way to fit inside with all the other detritus. My lyre, my dagger, the cold stone severed head of Medusa, lockets, hand sanitizer, a hair bubble.
They opened the door. Behind it was another. They opened that.
Is this the kingdom of heaven or the eye of a storm?
It's the place where we live whilst in between buses.
She put the umbrella in the stand by the door.
The timetable I saw said they don't run on weekends and only do every other evening, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
Even our days are just gods whose power have been wrung from them, attached to time and work and the rest and play of other human insignificancies. This town isn't like the other towns. It knows how to fit in. It doesn't make a fuss. It'll give you a hand job and a steak and never expect you to call it back. All the other places they had lived were inside their minds, but they were also inside this town. Squint your eyes and all places look the same. A dirty blur with light behind it. The possibility of everything and nothing. The void and its opposite. So they stepped into the void, wishing the world around them might dissipate into a thousand tiny pieces, but instead they found themselves in a local park, sparking up and hoping for the best. The change in mind might change in mood and change in place and make the world good again. It's a possibility, at least. Or maybe this change again will just lead to different panics, different rabbit holes, and all end in void again. Maybe this time they'll choose the other. They stepped into their room and looked up at the spiraling cathedral, its points unseeable and unknown.
Shit,
they said.
I've forgotten which way is up.
So they spit and found a globule on their face.
Right.
And so they ventured out into the opposite. They went out to feel. To feel with their feet the breadth and depth of the place. The chalk, the concrete, the clay. The worms writhing beneath. The bailiff plant twisted around their fingers. The rosemary in their hair. The love and thought that is such a place had to offer. And what of the other? The other kept their noses down, following the path of their feet. Not once looking up. But looking up is a strange occurrence. You see around you, you see the charity shops, the beggars, the litany of life written out before you. And that's like heavy sometimes. Heavy on the soul, heavy on the spirit, heavy on the way you turn your head. It creeps up and rests on the back of your spine until you don't know why it was ever there. You spare some change. You buy some art. It's square and modernist. It's an abstract duck. It's photos of grandparents that aren't your own.
It's a wash of strange and fractured things, all coalescing into a miasma of something.
If you were to put your finger to it, it would disappear. Into the ether, gone for good or bad. They weren't really sure. And so they trudged around the town, looking at the roots of trees, the traffic lights, the telescopic blend between the two.
New towns mean new beginnings,
said Stevenage.
Gardens make for cities,
said Letchworth and Wellin. Counties and countryside mixed with municipal building. Area codes around crossroads that end in 666. There's always a sense, a brief, catatonic sense of humour. Unposed, but quietly chuckling, quietly making itself known.
You stupid git,
the town said.
Why do you dwell on things that you cannot change? The parts you cannot change, the lights you cannot change, the face you cannot change. Change is inevitable, but the change is roadworks. The change is more housing, the joys of Chicago, the rest of London.
Sleep, soundly and still, in your soft mattress laid along the floor. For your cot is yet to arrive, and you must make do with blankets and sleeping bags and satchels under your head. Your cooker has not yet arrived, so make do with beans from the can, bread from the bag, butter from the pack. Bring it all together on a low hob that is yet to exist and feed it to your gaping maw. You love it, really, the squalor, the destitution. The strange men on street corners asking if you're alright, if you know your button's undone. Are you undone? It's unclear. Perhaps, maybe, who are you to ask? They return to their flat, strangely full of fear and loathing, but perhaps that's just the wind. They read, they look out the window, they try to see the whole thing before it washes away in silt and rain. The rain again, turning cold into snow.
That's new,
they think.
That's interesting.
That might pique my curiosity. And then they settle down to sleep, deeply rocked by passing cars, the youthful shouts of delinquency, and the sound of a dripping tap they can't quite tighten far enough.
Oh, woof, towns, right? Goodness me. Look, if you want to learn more about the writing process of this particular episode, or you want to learn more about Dave Pickering, the co-writer, you can go to the Apollo Plus app and become a subscriber. Over there, you will find that there is a conversation between me and Dave where we sort of unpick the episode kind of 2 years after the fact and kind of have a good old laugh about it. If that doesn't float your boat, you can also support other creators on the app who have made behind the scenes, exclusives, supercuts, those kind of things. They're all available on the Apollo Plus app. You can support great shows out there like Omen, Afflicted, Primordial Deep, and Side Questing, and Small Victories. Join Apollo Plus through the Apollo Podcast app or by going to apollopods.com.
They sleep through the night. They sleep through the night. A miracle in statistical terms. Do they dream? They might. But what is a dream without the memory of it? What is a story without a listener? What is a tree falling in the forest without an ear to hear its sound? What is a sound in a forest without a tree falling? The night passed. No one claimed it wasn't night. The night passed. People mourned it. The night passed. The morning was the future. After breakfast, they took things they owned out of boxes they'd borrowed with no intention of returning. Mantelpieces were populated by ceramic and brass idols. Toothbrushes were placed in cup at the altar of the sink. Clothes were put inside wardrobes. There was no secret world to be stumbled into, just wood and clothes hangers and mothballs. The house began to feel like home, which is always worrying. A home is something you can lose. They visited their neighbours and asked for a cup of sugar, but neither side was sweet. So they drank their tea unsweetened before going out to explore the town. The church with its cemetery full of old stones and new marble. The town hall with a clock that had told the time for longer than some people are remembered. The small shop that sold everything apart from what you wanted. The bus stop that people couldn't even be bothered to vandalise.
I used to throw nails into airport toilets and no one cared. Now I can't eat an apple without a curtain twitching. What I really want is for people to see me, but not care about what I do.
Fucking A. Fucking A.
So how long have you lived here?
Too long, mate. Too fucking long.
He took a drag of the tightly packed roll-up, letting the smoke waft through his fingers, his lungs, his gullet.
So fucking long that I remember when this was all trees. When this was all trees. Me and the missus used to go dogging here back in the day. And now we just sit and watch the box sets.
Right.
They said.
Yeah, yeah. This entire row of housing for rich fucks popped up like, oh, what, 6 months ago?
What was there before the trees?
Before the trees? Fuck. I don't know, mate. Dinosaurs? Megafauna? Minor flora? A bus stop?
The bus stop had always been there, rigid and unmolested by the teens of time.
Some county cunt came up and replaced the whole lot with dirt. Cut down all the trees, saw off all the animals. Planted identical trees in a long pattern row to give the imitation of a forest. Like I say, it was a great dogging spot, but now the only dogs that come through here wear little jackets and get groomed so the fluff doesn't come home.
As if on cue, a small tumbling ball of molten dog coat came meandering past the two of them, making its way to God knows where.
So how long you lived here then?
The man asked, teeth yellow with tar.
Fucking somewhere between a week and 6 months. I honestly couldn't tell you.
The man chuckled.
Yikes. Yeah. Starts blending together after a while.
Yeah,
they said. It hung in the air like a mobile above a crib, waiting for any sort of response.
Do you do whiz?
What?
Whiz. Speed.
Fucking... no?
Oh. I used to be a right wizard back in the day. My mate, underneath me, used to sell it for bikers. They'd come in the morning with the gear. Come back at 5 o'clock. Take it all away. Used to pay his rent to me in speed. I used to take a big teaspoonful of it and stir it into my tea. Joint in the evening to go back to sleep, but that was just what we did back then, you know. I regret it now, but at the time, we was young. We were dumber than bricks.
Nah, you're not dumb.
Nah. Smarter than most of the kids round here, but... you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do.
You do daft shit in your youth. You look back on it and wonder...
why I was ever that stupid, that niche, that strange, that twisted, that absurd.
That fucking blockheaded.
Right.
The air staled between them. Like the world couldn't continue until someone said something. They hated this, almost as much as being perceived... perception. Someone rip out their eye and grant me knowledge of that which I do not wish to know. Whatever the words they said would sound wrong. They'd lived all over the country, in all the countries that made up the country. In the country of the country, the village of the country, the town of the country, the city of the country. Everywhere they went, they had the wrong voice. Every time they changed their accent, they would move somewhere where it wasn't welcome. They once spent an awkward hour in the back of a taxi, stuck pretending to have a local voice. Their terrible impressions making a terrible impression on the driver. Unable to stop once they had begun. Everywhere you go, there's different words for bread. Everywhere you go, people eat their chopped up potatoes differently. Sometimes you just want to eat your chips without being chipped away at. Your shoulders get greasy if you keep wearing your food.
My father didn't riot. He got on his bike and he looked for work and he kept looking till he found it.
At last the silence was broken. The world continued again.
Maybe he should have rioted though. Maybe he should have ridden his bike to somewhere nice. The seaside or a fun fair. Maybe he should have searched for something worth finding. I always wanted a golden fleece, for example, or a sword that would make me the ruler of England, or Wales, or Scotland, or Cornwall, or the Isle of Man.
Mananin wrapped his cloak around the island, shrouding it from view, the whole isle filled with mist and mischief, his sword buried in the hill they called a mountain. Douglas in the mist rose up out of the bay, waved to the Therese. Peel descended into the fog, marching up the hill, pat the palm trees and the second-hand stores, and the little shops containing knick-knacks and doorknobs and boots, finding the old Victorian swimming pool long soaked into the sea like it was trying to swallow the island back. But Mananin put this on hold for a little 30 miles of countryside.
Ramsay's not what it used to be. It's ugly and torn apart by developers. Always developing, they are.
Crowned by hair, raised on bells and jazz, Midas sits in his throne in front of the fire. He'll hear you're out on your quest, but he'll recommend that you try the kipper sandwich at the end of the pier. They looked down at their hand. The sandwich was still there, graying and greasy. They unwrapped it from the cellophane and took a bite. Smoky and buttery and full of little bones. They crunched down harder, with defiance. No bone would stop this bitch, they thought.
What are you eating?
Kipper sarnie.
I can smell it from here.
You can smell all sorts from here, they thought. You can smell the sea, you can smell the earth, you can smell the distinct smells of gas from the petroleum rainbows that lit the streets from the passing rain.
Can you offer me more?
Yes. Smoke, twirling in the midday breeze, brighter than the sky, cycle through Hyde Park for a contact high.
Right. I'm off.
Off where?
To find the sword of Damocles, dangled above Loki's heart or some shit. To find a golden fleece in the fly-tipping spot near my flat. To find God in a chip butty. I don't know, get off my back.
Your bus hasn't come yet.
Yeah, fuck it. I'll ride.
The freedom of movement that comes from a bike, to trail between towns as fast as your wheels will carry you. To become part of the machine. Not subjugated behind the wheel, but to put both life and limb on the line as you speed through hedgerows and splash through puddles and generally cause a nuisance to all other drivers in the area. Narrowly avoiding trucks, narrowly avoiding cars, completely bailing on that one pothole they didn't see coming. Totaled, they roll over on their back, staring into the cloudy skies, grey and sun-flecked, drizzling slightly.
Maybe I'll lie here forever.
They thought.
Maybe I'll lie forever. Maybe I'll lie. Maybe.
They groggily return to their feet, fish their bike out of the ditch and roll onwards, forwards, as fast as their legs will carry them and inertia will allow. You have to keep moving or you'll stay in one place. And no one wants that. A pool that doesn't move is stagnant. A life that doesn't change is one that's clogged up with algae and bacteria. The fish die, and not even deep fat frying them will make them taste good. A policeman bobbed the beat towards them. The dome on his head was a pot always ready for a pregnant woman to piss in. The truncheon in his hand always ready to break a few eggs.
Hello, hello, hello,
he said.
Here is going on.
Then,
50 years on from now, Britain will still be the country of long shadows on county grounds, warm beer, invincible green suburbs, dog lovers, and old maids bicycling to Holy Communion through the morning mist.
Thank you, officer, for your contribution. We're new here and we don't want any trouble.
Well, if you see any old maids, let me know. You never know what gets stolen when the morning mist comes down. There used to be a lot more dogs round it. Someone has been chilling the beer. The shadows on the cricket ground have been shortened. Someone defeated a green suburb a few towns over.
Yeah, we don't know any of that. We're law-abiding citizens.
I'll be the judge of that,
said the policeman.
Well, not me, but I know all the judges around here, and they listen to what I have to tell them.
It makes us feel so much safer to have you as part of the community.
Just make sure you go straight to Holy Communion and make sure no one mistakes you for a nun, and you're sure to fit in.
Churches, where good folk fear to tread. Heads bowed in solemn silence, they're gathered around to natter at the end of proceedings. Men in dog collars telling you how to live your life. Cringe at best. The judge was jury and executioner. They had talked their way in, and so they let the ceremony wash over them. They stood up, they sang, they lit their candle, they said peace be with you while shaking hands, hands shaking. They solemnly marched up the aisle, no wedding, no funeral, just biscuits and wine. Just like Saturday, just like Friday, wine and wafers. They kneel and an overwhelming tingle moves over them. Practice makes perfect. They kneel quietly as the pastor comes round, and into open hand, the body into outstretched palm. hook it down the gullet before it turns into the big boy himself. And then the priest, wiping the spit away from the last sinner, offers a silver goblet of alcohol to them. They sup, assisted, and it tastes sweet, juicy, soft, metallic, and bloody. And the moment of quiet reverie is over, and they return to their seat. To think for a moment. To let the Lord run rampant through their soul. It's an alien experience, but a universal one. Knotting together in the pit of their stomach, their non-belief and quiet exultation battle it out for the root of their soul. Who knows who wins? But in the moment of wine and wafer, gives pause for thought.
You can buy them in bulk, obviously, from Amazon. Cheap as chips.
They have to come from somewhere, pre-blessed, no doubt. They lay out a tarot at the foot of their bed, mixing beliefs and mixing drinks.
Don't go in for that pagan shit. That'll fuck you up.
They study the stones and pulled up by their ancestors. They draw a card. The Tower. Fuck. That's a bad omen. Of things falling down, of lightning struck trees, of ruin and resilience. Built to God and then tumbling back down to earth.
See, I warned you.
Shut up. And like that, the lights went out. The building began to shudder and the earth began to tremble, and sooner or later the other took hold, grabbing at their garments, laughing at their nose rings, holding them down under water to see if they would float, but burly arms pulled them up and lifted them in smoke to a smiling green man who offered them a toke.
You seem lost, friend, and far from home. Even though you thought it was beneath your feet all along, chill. You're amongst your own. We have no times for the buildings, or the capital, or any of that shit. It's all good, baby. It's all gravy. Just sit back, sit tight, and let the love wash over you. Can you feel it? Deep in your bones. You knew we were here the whole time. The druids will take your fall. Worship the earth and the weeds and the roots. The gods can't stop you here. All is peace and change and upheaval. But you'll get the hang of it, friend. This I know.
The green man let out a long, choking cough, eyes as red as the moon. A chanting started.
Autumn days when the grass is jeweled, the silk inside a chestnut shell, jet planes meeting in the air to be refueled, all these things I love so well. But it was snowing earlier. I'm pretty sure it's not autumn.
What is time? What are seasons? What's known? What is unknowable?
The green man said through guttural splutters.
Clouds that look like familiar faces, and the winter's moon with frosted rings. Smell of bacon as I fasten up my laces, and the song the milkman sings. What song does the milkman sing?
Ask not who the milkman sings for, lest the milkman sings for you.
The green man looks satisfied with his own answer, despite its not connecting with the question.
Whipped up spray that is rainbow scattered, and a swallow curving in the sky. Shoes so comfy that they're worn out and they're battered, and the taste of apple pie. I remember that song from assemblies. Sitting on wooden floors, cross-legged, but I forgot it somehow. Until now, until it was surrounding me, chanted by unseen mouths, brought up from the depth of unseen lungs, whispered by dragons, shaped by the tongues of ghosts and angels and fairies. Scent of gardens when the rain's been falling, and a minnow darting down a stream. Picked up engine that's been stuttering and stalling, and a win for my home team. Can you have a home team if your home isn't your home? If you live in a house surrounded by people who don't want you to join their team? I wandered lonely as a conker, smashed by its own team, drenched in pickle juices, painted with varnish, chipped and broken, the strings snapped.
Silence!
Muttered the green man.
You cannot combine the existential with the sacred. Not unless you want to incur the wrath of creation. Let the grass grow as it may. Find yourself a garden and build the holy patio.
But he vanished into colour and light, into sight and sound, into fractals and cobwebs, into sea and surf, into bright and darkness, into tradition and religion, into bleating grass and wafting lambs, into donkeys and Dixie cups and carriages and smog and dust and dirt and all things benevolent and all things reticent and all things and all things, and all was quiet. Save for the bell at the end of the lane that chimed the hour past. The reverie was lost forever, cryptically broken down as reality seeped back in at the corners of your mouth. And it stung like hot sauce on the tip of your tongue and rolled like Worcester down the back of your arm. And all was well and all was quiet and all was as it should be. Except for them. They stood up shakily, wondering what had happened. How had they fallen this far and this fast and without the aid of a thing that would usually drown them? They are a lost child, a lost son, and a lost daughter. And now there is no guiding post, no safety net, nothing to grab and claw at as they fall downwards into the abyss. And thus they are saved not by themselves or by the waning waters or the of hope, but by the cold, solid ground beneath their backs. They are made whole by the earth that sees them as nothing more than blood sacks upon it. Nothing more than sinew and bone, nothing more, nothing more. They breathed a sigh of release to be seen as they are, rather than seen through the lens of their peers, of their neighbours, of their gods, or of their deceit. They are very much themselves, for now, at least. And the clock kept ticking away at the back of their minds. What's left to say? What's left behind? They pulled themselves to their feet once more and went careening as fast as they could to the door and out onto the street and bellowed aloud, My name is not yours and you cannot, and you cannot possess it. My body is not yours and you cannot own it. My soul is not mine. It belongs to the sea. And the sea is a port in which I cannot breathe. I cannot breathe, clutching at chest and the air leaves for leaves to harness the ground and the soil and the nutrients of anything that might rise up to meet it. So they go back indoors and slam everything down on the table and counter and mostly around the things that they wanted and now that they despise, like cookers and washers and grills that they buy. To toast sandwiches for no one but themselves. To make coffee for no one but themselves. To make love with no one but themselves. Life is long and tedious and excruciatingly dull when there is no one but yourselves. And they remember the lightning-struck tree and the bus stop. Free of graffiti, and they think of the wizard who's always on speed, and they think of back further than they can believe, and they are left again with void, with nothing at all, and yet that's what's there to greet them when they fall. Come back, dear friend, come back and embrace what you once thought was lost, but now is always there. And the city gloated with pride and with glee that this is the mess that you've ended up with.
How do you now, you piteous fool? Where is your pride when it comes to the fall?
Oh, let me alone, foul spirits and air. Let me alone, concepts and things. Let me alone, mown grass and patios and all those things that won't leave me alone. Let me snuggle up in a quiet dark hole and bury me deep with the clay and the coal. And let me just weep at the changes I made before the terminus brings me to be. Prayer said to no one for nothing at all. Crimes that are wanton mean nothing at all. Bring me the mountain and bring me the stream and bring me a bottle of wine so I dream of a valley in France with grapes from Calais, of strains that I've never heard of before, of things that I couldn't want for more. Oh, death, be silent. There's still so much left.
A town is a place you move away from and a place you move to. A town is a place that you stay your whole life. A town is a place your family has always lived. A town is a place you can never leave. Every town is the same. Every town is unique. A town is created by its people. A town is defended by its people. A town attacks the people in the next town. A town is cohesion. A town is exclusion. When the lone samurai comes to town, people are going to lose their heads. When the gunslinger comes to town, bullets are going to be fired. When Theseus comes to town, you better make sure your minotaurs are in their paddocks. You better make sure your hearts are tied tightly with threads thicker than spider webs. He's going to find his way to the heart of your mazes, no matter how high the hedges grow. He's going to have women fall in love with him. He's going to encourage boys to fly with wings that will melt. He's going to leave. He's going to only think about himself. He'll cause fathers to throw themselves from cliffs. He's going to take everything he can get. And they will erect a statue to him in the village square. They will say he was a hero. He was just. He was necessary. Without him, we'd have lost to the Nazis. They will say the words he said and the actions he took are just myths that you made up to discredit him. If you want to live in this town, you better shag his statue. You better respect his stones. You better understand that history isn't for you. It's for the people who went before and the people who come after. Your job is to do what you've been told, to push yourself into the soil, make your flesh into compost, your bones into flower pots. From you will grow the new normal. From you will grow the status quo. And the people will rejoice. A town is a place. People make places. You are a person. All is as it should be. Just relax. Don't think. Keep moving. Keep forgetting. And one day, maybe you will be a statue, or a flag, or a cobblestone. Home is where the heart is, but that doesn't mean the heart is alive. Carnivores feast on flesh. It's the only way for them to survive.
Towns was written and performed by Oliver Morris and Dave Pickering, with additional voices from Greta Clarkson. All music composed on the show is by Oliver Morris. And I think that's all the credits. Yeah. This was a really fun one to make. I reached out to Dave, and he's a wonderful storyteller, and we kind of had this sort of back and forth over a course of 3 hours where we'd write each for 15 minutes and then commit that to paper, send each other a tweet of the last 128 characters or 280 characters of each section that we had written. All of this is available on thelightningbottle.tumblr.com. You can find a set of transcripts. Also, an absolute pleasure to be working with Greta again. We worked on Cane and Fields together. She is a wonderful, wonderful performer, editor, dog walker. I highly recommend you find her on Twitter. I'll put her links in the show notes. Oh. Towns, right? Fucking weird. As for the next Lightning Bottler, I got another fucking month. We'll see if we get one out. And, yeah, weird time. Stay safe. All that shit.
Hello, Nick again, letting you know that you can support this creator and many more fiction shows by joining Apollo Plus today. As an audio fiction creator myself, I know that funding a fiction series is tough. That's why we created Apollo Plus, a subscription that helps support many of your favorite shows while offering a better listening experience. No ads, early access to episodes, exclusive content, behind-the-scenes clips, season supercuts, and more. 70% of the revenue goes directly to the creators you love, allowing them to make more audio series. So, if you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, all the while helping the creator, Join Apollo Plus today through the Apollo Podcast app on iOS and Android, or go to apollopods.com. Hope you enjoyed the show, and see you on Apollo Plus, the best way to support many fiction creators at once. Thank you for supporting the show, and we'll see you on Apollo Plus.
Scardy's Symphony.